Well, this evening, we're going to be in the Old Testament. This morning, we were in the New Testament, of course, but tonight, we're in Psalm 27. This is a chapter that I have been often asked to reflect on at funerals, and you'll see why as we make our way through it together. But tonight, I just want to think about something other than funerals and death. I want to put it in its proper context, and that is in life and in the challenges of life. But I want to say a few things about this passage to set it up first, and then I want to work through our way through it verse by verse. So just if you would, keep your Bibles on your laps and let's think about this together. Fear is a part of the human experience, isn't it? I mean, fear and anxiety and concern along with that stress. I mean, it's all a part of our human existence. Anyone here never experience any of those emotions, right? Of course not. It's part of life here. I'm happy to say that we will be in a life where there is absolute freedom from fear and insecurity and anxiety. But as long as we breathe here in this life, it is a part of our existence. There is the fear of the unknown, right? There's the fear of illness. There's a fear of disease. There's a fear of death. There's a fear of people. There's a fear of the loss of employment. There's a fear of loneliness. There's the fear of crime. These days, there's a fear of terrorist attack, domestic or otherwise. There's a fear of being misunderstood. There's a fear of being taken advantage of. There's a fear of being criticized. There's a fear of standing out and being very different, as we reflected on this morning a bit. There's a fear of being rejected. There's a fear of being labeled. There's a fear of being forgotten. There's a fear of perhaps being mistreated. In other words, the list goes on and on. There's anxieties, concerns, and fears related to so many things in life. I've lost family members, and so have you. I've lost friends, and so have you, to cancer. And whenever that happens, it gives me pause, right? And it leaves me wondering, probably the same thing that it leaves you wondering. What are the things that have raised concern in your life? What are the things that have caused some measure of anxiety, wonderings, stress? What are the things in your life that are on the surface? This is maybe a harder thing. What do you suppose are the things just below the surface in your consciousness and in your awareness, either real or imagined, that cause some anxiety or concern or fear? Maybe that's a bit of an unfair question. Well, the opposite of fear, of course, is security. By definition, security, let me get it on the screen right here, security is the freedom from risk. It's the freedom from harm. It's the freedom from fear. People want freedom from fear. We all want to live a life that is anxiety-free. No fears, no worries. Wouldn't that be nice? The problem is it's not very realistic. And the Bible certainly doesn't pretend to suggest that there ought to be no fears or anxieties in life. It never says we'll be completely free of any of that. And of course, our experience tells us that that's certainly not going to be the case. The idea of security in the Bible is not the absence of challenges in our life, or the absence of pain in our life, or heartache in our life, the absence of fear in our life. It is not that. But rather, in Scripture, the idea of security is the knowledge that the fears and the challenges and the hardships and the pain that we will experience in life to varying degrees in various seasons of life will never separate us from what matters most in life. It will never separate us from our relationship with God. The Bible teaches us that security is knowing that God is always with us. That's where we find our security. It is knowing that God is in control in all circumstances of life, in all seasons of life, even in the pain, even in the heartbreak, in the hardship, the fearful times, and that He will accomplish His good plans and purposes in our life or in the lives of others or for His broader plans and purposes for this world. And so let's be clear about this. Our security, our sense of security rests on these truths of the Bible, truths of the Bible that we can stake our lives on and anchor our soul on. What they don't rest on is our feelings at any given moment. And a good thing, too, because our feelings change. We have our ups and we have our downs. We have our more pessimistic times. We have our times of despair. But we have our times of joy and more optimistic times as well. Feelings come and go. Feelings change all of the time. Feelings, more often than not, are based on the circumstances of our life. Whatever life presents us with, we react to emotionally. Certain circumstances in our life can be very threatening to us and even frightening to us. Sometimes it feels like God is so distant and so uninvolved in our lives, even uncaring, or else we think to ourselves, why would God allow me to be faced with these circumstances? Why would God allow me to go through these things? So if our security, our sense of security is based on our emotions, it's going to be a real emotional roller coaster ride. Some of you have ridden that roller coaster because some of you have experienced real pain and grief and hardship and heartache. So as Christians, it's important that we understand that our security does not depend on how we feel, but on the truths of God's Word. And I want to see how this gets worked out in our lives with you. And so we're going to look at Psalm 27 and David's experience here. Now, we don't know the exact historical occasion from which he writes this psalm, but it is pretty clear here that David is being threatened by an enemy that was bent on tearing him down. It's also pretty clear that he was pretty frightened by what he was facing. So what does David do? David reminds himself of the truth about who God is. That's how he starts out here in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So that's how David is processing this. He's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David starts out by reminding himself that God is the light that dispels the darkness of a world that's so deeply mired and impacted by sin and by evil. And he reminds himself that in this fallen world, filled with challenges and obstacles and things that are very threatening to us, that God is the one that we turn to. He is the deliverer. He is the stronghold. He is the fortress in the buffeting storms of life. And David senses his own weakness as he faces this enemy. But then he turns to what he knows to be truth, and that is that his life is in God's hands. And on that basis, he proclaims, "Whom shall I be afraid?" And then in verse 2 and 3, he boldly declares that God will defeat his enemies. He says, "When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." So David's confidence rests on the truth. It rested on what he knew to be truth about God, not on how he was feeling as his enemies were beginning to move in, which left David then to express the desire to sense God's presence in his life, to be near to God, because he needed God and his presence now like never before. Verse 4, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." So notice here the repeated reference to God's house, to his temple, to his dwelling, to his sacred tent. And all of these are poetic ways of expressing for David, his desire for a more intimate connection with God and a greater awareness or greater experience of God's presence in his life. So when the pressure mounts, when anxiety threatens to overwhelm you, where do you turn? In whom do you trust? Where do you find safe harbor in the midst of the storms of life? That's the question that begs to be asked here for all who would read this psalm. David doesn't ask for negotiations here. He doesn't ask for a strategic weapon from God to defeat his enemies. You might think that he would ask for, like, you know, have a fire to be sent down from heaven to annihilate his enemies. He doesn't do any of that. When confronted with a crisis, David expresses a longing to be near God. Why? Because he knew that's where his security lies. He knew that his life was in God's hands. And I want to suggest to you that that's the truth that you and I need to hang on to. That's the truth that we have to hold on to in the face of illness, in the face of a death of a spouse or a loved one in our family, in the face of depression, when life looks so bleak and there doesn't seem to be any hope, in the face of a bad relationship and the overwhelming demands of work, or when wrestling with temptation, you know, whatever it is that you and I face in life, this awareness that our lives are in God's hands, come what may in life, nothing's going to be able to sever that. Nothing is going to be able to separate us from God and his love. And there is a passage in Scripture. Anybody know what it is? That speaks of this. As soon as I put it on the screen, you'll say, "Of course, I know what that is. I've read it 100 times, and I've heard you preach on it probably 150 times. You know what it is? Yes, of course. Who said that? Oh, you're not going to own up to it, huh, Dick? Here it is. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or anything else that you might want to add to this list of Paul? Those things that threaten you, those things that you find challenging, those things that you find anxiety causing? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, that would be just about everything, right? Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, this is what we know, right? But what we live with often is our feelings and our emotions. Fear is not necessarily an easy thing. Well, in fact, I delete the word necessarily. Fear is not an easy thing to deal with, and it is not an easy thing to overcome. In verse 7, the mood changes. You can sense the tension in David's heart between what he knows to be true in his head and the lingering fear that lurks in the background in the circumstances that he is facing. Hear my voice. Verse 7, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me. Do not forsake me, God, my Savior. You can hear his voice rising, right? You can sense his deep concern. But then it's almost as if David catches himself in verse 10 and then once again reminds himself or affirms or reaffirms what he knows in his head to be true. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. David knew that God would not forsake him. But even if improbably his mother and father would forsake him, he knows that God would not forsake him. Do you suppose the Apostle Paul had read and digested Psalm 27 as he wrote what he wrote? In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. From his earliest days, he was schooled in the Scriptures. You know anyone in your circle of awareness who's been abandoned by a parent? And I can't imagine it because I had two loving and very nurturing parents. But I'm well aware of people who have been abandoned by a parent at an early age or later on in life. You know anyone who's been disowned by a parent? Someone who has seen a parent turn his or her back on them and walk out of their life in anger. I can only imagine the intensity of David's point, but people who have experienced the abandonment of a parent would know that far greater than I would. David is reminding himself that even if no one else is trustworthy, well, we might expect in the number of people in our lives that cross our path, we might expect that there would be some instances of betrayal or backstabbing or sorry, I'm out of here, and the lack of trust, right? But who would expect that from a parent? But David is reminding himself, if no one else is trustworthy, yet God is completely trustworthy, and he will remain faithful. I could press my luck here and ask, does anybody know of another passage, this time in the Old Testament, that speaks to being held close by a parent? Here it is. This is what I'm thinking of. The prophet Isaiah, he says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast? Of course not. But Isaiah frames that as a question because he's trying to make a point. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Well, she may forget, as improbable and unlikely and unacceptable. How could that ever happen as it appears? Though she may forget, if that ever did happen, I will not forget you. See, I have you engraved on the palm of my hands. Your name is tattooed on the palm of my hands. And again, you sense the tension in David's heart between what he knows to be true and what he feels. Now in verse 11 and 12. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. You can experience and feel the tension. But then in the end, David once again chooses to focus on truth over against his feelings. And he says, I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Now, one of the reasons why this passage is often requested at funerals is because people have the idea that David is talking about heaven here. David is not talking about heaven here. He is speaking of his confidence that we will experience God's faithfulness and his goodness in this life. Amidst all of the troubles of this life, amidst all of the difficult experiences and trials of this life, David is confident that God will not only be with him and walk with him, but give him the strength that he needs and the perseverance that he needs in the end so that he would be able to face his fear. The most difficult challenge that he's ever faced to this point, with confidence. And so he says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. That's his encouragement, that's his counsel, that's his advice to all who hear these words. Don't quit, David is saying to himself. Don't quit, David is saying to us, even in your most discouraging, despairing, fearful moments. Don't quit, because God is not going to quit on you. He will see you through. He will give you the present. He will give you the strength in his presence, moment by moment, day by day, week by week. Now, I should sit down and invite some of you to come and talk to us and share your experience, because you've lived this. Or maybe I should say you are living it now. You know what it's like to be overwhelmed by life and by certain difficult and painful circumstances. But you also know what it's like to make it through a day. And then another day. And then another day. Because every morning you cried out to God, God, give me the strength to make it through just this day. So that is Psalm 27. And it asks the question, it begs the question, what about you? What about me? Do we have the confidence and do we have the peace that God walks with us in life and that he is present with us in all circumstances of life? Do you know, do I know, do we know the security that comes when we realize that no matter what, come what may, God will never leave you. No matter what happens in life, can we rest in the truth that God has not turned his back on us and not allowed us, even when it sure seems that way, or else why would we be going through this? Right? Do we have the confidence, even when it flies in the face of logic and reason, that God is still in control and that he is still somehow working out his good plans and purposes, either for my life or for the lives of others or for his broader plans and purposes for this world? Do we somehow, can we bring ourselves to trust that he sees a much bigger picture than we do? And he's very well aware of the little puzzle pieces and how they all fit together in order for his plans and purposes to be accomplished. When for us, we just see this very narrow slice of life that's pretty much limited to our circumstances and our feelings. I want to close with this. There was a father with a three-year-old daughter, and he was standing in the shallow end of a swimming pool, and the daughter was not a, you know, this father was, and so this little girl was clinging to her father's neck, and, you know, her face is here, and her legs are wrapped around his waist, and they're standing in the shallow end of the swimming pool, and she's not feeling any water. And he decides that he's just going to go into a little deeper water. And so he takes a step, and with every step, he kind of whispers to his daughter, we're going, you know, playfully. Only this didn't have the anticipated effect. He says, we're going deeper and deeper. And with every step that he took, his daughter's, the pressure of her arms around his neck tightened and tightened, and he could sense the anxiety and the concern. Now, she's only 3 years old. If she was a little bit older, she might realize that there's really no reason for increased anxiety, but she was going to be okay because the water's depth in every part of the pool, even at the shallow end, was higher than she was tall. And so she was only safe in every part of the pool because she was hanging on to her dad's neck. You know, at various times in life, all of us feel like we're getting into some pretty deep water. Problems and the challenges that we face. Maybe some of you are feeling like you're in pretty deep water right now. And you're struggling to stay afloat. And you feel like you've lost control. But the truth is that you and I have never really been in control of the things that really matter in life. The truth is that we've always been held up by our Father in heaven, and that will never change, no matter how deep the water is in life. And the truth is that God is never in water over his head. And so David would encourage us to place our trust in him and to stay in his arms, because it is the only place where we can be genuinely secure. I hope and I pray that this message also has been an encouragement to you.